the banks didn't have the money to give them. And I said, something is going on here, and it's not just coincidence.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. Welcome back to the program. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 3rd of February, 2016, depending what side of the dateline you're on and what year you're in, apparently. Good to have you back on the program. Today, we're going to be talking to an old guest that you should, I hope, all remember, Carrie Lutz of the Financial Survival Network, not to be confused with Financial Survival, which is a radio show I'm on a weekly basis with Alfred Adesk. This is completely different. FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. I'll put the link in the show notes, of course, so you can go check it out and check out Carrie Lutz's work. Again, as I say, I've been on his show in the past. He's been on this show in the past, so you should be familiar with him. If not, you can check out some of those conversations in the Corbett Report archives. Carrie, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on. It's been too long, and it's great to catch up.
Yes, it has been too long, and I must admit, it was a bit of serendipity that got us together this time, because I was just assembling my my article on the war on cash, which I released on January 27th, and as I was in the process of putting some of that information together, I got your e-newsletter, and you were, lo and behold, writing about the war on cash has been won. And I think there's definitely something in the air around this topic right now, because not only have I seen it pop up on alternative sites like Financial Survival Network and Zero Hedge and others, but also, lo and behold, just a few days after I released my report, then Bloomberg comes out with Bring On the Cashless Future, and there's just no end to talk about this cashless society that we're heading into right now, and a lot of central banks and other big-name bankers are getting on board in a big way right now. I think this is an agenda that's been coming into view for a long time, but there seems to be some definite momentum behind it at the moment. So first of all, let's get your take on this. Tell us about, from your perspective, what this war on cash really looks like and how long it's been going.
It's been going for several years that I know of. I wrote an article in March, I think it was of 2014, and in it, I didn't call it the war on cash. I called it Operation Dirty Money. And basically, what we have here in the States, when you look at your bills, your notes, they're not really bills, they're Federal Reserve notes. A bill would be an asset, a note is a liability. But anyway, not to get bogged down in minutiae, what I noticed is that the money was filthy, and you'd go to an ATM and take money out, and you used to get brand new crisp 20s and 50s and 100s in New York, no more. The money is like fit for the garbage can. It's filthy, it's ripped, it's folded, it's been out there way too long. And then I looked at the Federal Reserve website, and they claim that they're putting out billions and billions of dollars worth of notes. Well, you look at the age of the bill, you can tell approximate age by the date. It'll say like date 2007. Won't necessarily be when the money was printed, because they will change the series and change the date on it when you either have a new Secretary of the Treasury or a new Treasurer of the United States. There is a job there called Treasurer. I don't know what they do. Maybe they keep track of the petty cash for the U.S. government. I don't know. But point is, all these new notes were supposed to be out there. All these new hundreds were supposed to be out there. They were nowhere to be found, James. And my thing was, hey, we're making cash undesirable by making it a disease carrier. And psychologically, people don't like dirty money. I mean, nothing like a crisp, new crisp bill note that, you know, it feels good, but this old stuff is just garbage. And from that, I surmised that this was part of the government's plot to wean us off of money. And then a couple of other things happened. A study done, I think, by Bankrate.com showed that 40% of the people carry like $50 or less. 20% of the people out there, and these numbers might not be exact, don't have the article in front of me, but 20% of you out there don't carry any cash whatsoever. And then I had some friends. They had ATM machines down here in Florida. They had a business, a couple dozen of these machines. I mean, literally cash cows, no pun intended. And they had to get out of the business. I mean, they had other reasons, but one of the main reasons was they couldn't get cash, new notes from banks. It became more and more difficult. The banks didn't have the money to give them. And I said, something is going on here, and it's not just coincidence. And then there was a whole big joke when Jack Lew became Secretary of the Treasury in the States here. You know, Obama made a joke. He had to sign, I don't know, it was a whole little minor story. But after Jack Lew became Secretary of the Treasury, and a year and a half has gone by, and I don't see any notes signed with Jack Lew's signature, something's going on here. And so I was the first one to ever write about this in the latest batch. Now it's all over the place wherever you go. But cash represents freedom. But there's other reasons why they don't want cash in the system. Very simply, if you have $1,000 in your checking account on deposit with Too Big to Fail National Bank, they can leverage that money through credit creation up to 9 times. And if you have cash in your pocket, guess what? They can't do it. So there are all sorts of nefarious reasons they want to get rid of cash, but I think that one's one of the biggest ones, because if you have $1 trillion worth of cash out there, for instance, and all of a sudden it's gone, then you got $9 trillion potential leverage, even more than that. But let's just say it's 9 to 1 for argument's sake. And the other thing is, you go to your local Starbucks here, or all sorts of places now have tip jars. When I was a kid, no place had a tip jar. You tipped waitstaff, and that was it. But everybody's got their hand out now. And I figured out that in a Starbucks, a chain like Starbucks, they have 13,000 stores in the United States, and they got two tip jars in every single one of them. And when you think about that, that means they're getting somewhere around $1 billion a year in cash going through that tip jar chain-wide, and the government's fair share should probably be a third of that. So I saw that Starbucks is joining the war on cash. Their app allows you to leave a tip for the barista electronically. And I said, wait a second. Yeah, this, now it makes a lot of sense. We'll collect taxes. I think one of the reasons you have a falling crime rate in the United States is that 40% of the people are carrying less than $50 in their pocket. So why rob somebody for $50? You know, yeah, if they have jewelry, so we'll go for the jewelry, but most people aren't flaunting their jewelry. So it's like crime's not paying anymore here, James. And you know, all of these factors just combine to make you realize, hey, 7% of all the transactions in the U.S. occur in currency. 93% don't. And on and on and on. It just all the pieces fell into place, if you know what I mean.
I certainly do. And just to back up the fact that this is not just an American phenomenon, as I say, that article that I was putting together last week, The War on Cash, A Country-by-Country Guide, and all of the Corbett Report members from all around the world contributing stories from their neck of the woods. We have stories from Australia, Belgium, Canada, China, Denmark, Ecuador, France, Hong Kong, India, Israel, Italy, Kenya. It goes on and on and on. All around the world, these types of stories are coming out, and usually central bankers or banks are trying to push this agenda. And all of these stories that we're putting in here are from the last few years. So I think there's been a definite increase in momentum in this agenda. Do you think, I mean, is there a reason behind the increase in agenda, or is it simply that this is the stage we've reached with the technology?
I think the technology, I think the cryptocurrencies, digital currencies, you got debit cards. So all of these things are leading to this point, but I don't believe that, well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, they've gotten this far. I was going to say, I don't believe that the citizenry of the world's going to allow it, but in Scandinavia, they're embracing it. They can't wait. I don't know. I just went to the supermarket. I paid for it in cash, but even myself, I have to admit, very few of my transactions are in cash, although, you know, more than probably most people.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky to live in Japan because it is still a very much cash-based society, but I'm interested to see how that's going to change in the coming years, as I'm sure they will get on board with the agenda. From a banking perspective, you mentioned the idea of having as much of the money in circulation as possible in deposits in the banks so that they can use them as reserves to lend against. But are there other banking interests in this? What interest do central banks have in pushing a cashless society?
Well, you know, then when they go to negative interest rates, it's a real incentive to go and consume because your money is dissipating in the bank. When there's inflation, harder to perceive that. But when you got negative interest rates, your money just turns to nothing in the bank. And the negative interest rates, there was a Swiss insurance company. Once the Swiss went to negative rates, which was about a year ago, they wanted to get like $150 million in cash. And they said, we're just going to take the cash out of our account. And the bank said, with the backing of the Swiss National Bank, sorry, you can't do it. But hey, but I have this account here. It's supposed to be transferable into cash. What's going on here? And hey, it just enables them to create money on a whim, to take it away on the whim. If we have a revaluation, they don't have to worry about all those pesky bills if there's a reset anywhere in the world. This is everywhere.
It's so important for people to understand that in this new reality that is being constructed with the new banking regulations that are coming into line all across the world right now, the money you have in your bank is a loan that you are making to the bank that if and when that bank fails, they will bail themselves out with your money. And I think people have to understand that new reality. And of course, the cashless society is just one more step towards the consolidation of control in the hands of those banks so that everybody has to. As you say, you can't take there is no money to take out if you want to try to preserve the wealth from going away in a negative interest rate environment. The question really then is, what can people be doing right now to forestall this agenda or to counteract it or hedge against it? What can the individuals out there be doing?
Great question. I just want to address one minor point first. So the whole premise of my latest article is that you can't have bank runs anymore if there's no cash. How do you have a bank run? Oh, yeah, well, I'll just go from bank A and they'll give me a bank check. They're insolvent. I'll go to bank B and deposit it. Bank B is insolvent. Or I'll go to bank C, which is going to close any day. You know, bank runs don't work because once the money can't be reduced to physical form, you get no satisfaction out of the run, and then they restrict you to how much you can withdraw in a day. Citibank, for me, I used to have a $2,000 limit. Now it's $1,000. They cut it in half after the financial crisis. So I have to go back to your other question, but you have to ask it to me again.
What can people do to hedge against this, forestall this, or do anything to counteract what's going on right now?
Well, basically, limited choices. I mean, I guess you could go out and buy a stack of debit cards, but, you know, what good is that? If you buy a certain denominations under certain amounts, you don't have to register the card in your name, and you can just swipe it, and it's anonymous. So that is a good solution for certain things. Like, I think American Express, under $500, it used to be, $500 or less, you didn't have to register that card, but they might have changed it. I haven't kept up on that. Hey, precious metals. Martin Armstrong said 2 years ago that the reason why precious metals would boom was not because of inflation, not because of fear of the banks, but to opt out of the system. So precious metals always is an alternative. Hey, goods like, I always said we would go to a 9mm based currency. So you buy a case of 9mm ammunition and, hey, you trade bullets for beer, I guess. I don't know. Hard goods, you should just have a certain reservoir of cash. I don't recommend a lot of your holdings in cash, but hey, a certain minimal amount that'll get you through a couple weeks if it hits the fan. But like I say, we're not in the era of conventional Jimmy Stewart type bank runs here, like my grandparents and my parents told me about. That's obsolete. It's not going to happen. If you think it is, look at Greece. Look at Cyprus. They just said, hey, you are now a creditor of the bank, like you said, and we will allow you the privilege of taking out 300 euros a day from the ATM. And eventually people forget, the panic subsides, and everything goes back to pretty much normal. And that's what's going to happen here, more or less. It just allows them the ability to control the system and stop it from, that mass loss of faith. Loss of faith might happen, but what's your alternative? I have no faith in the U.S. government, but there is no other government right now for me to put my faith in. And you might lose faith in the banks, but it doesn't matter.
Sad, but unfortunately true, given the system that we've been engineered into, which is, again, why I think it's so important to stress all of the ways that we can withdraw from the banks, not just our money, but our in every sense. And there's alternative currencies to think about, and complementary currencies and cryptocurrencies and precious metals and storing a bit of cash away for whatever bank run, or not bank run, but bank holiday they might try to institute with the sudden surprise devaluation or whatever else is coming along the line. So people have to be thinking about these things. And there's quite a few things in my archives. If you type in solutions into the search bar, you can find some things along those lines. How about on financialsurvivalnetwork.com? What can people find there?
Oh, we've got articles every day about this. I mean, it's just like such a timely topic. Everybody, major financial writers, writing about it. And then, it calmed down a bit. I sent out my newsletter, and then, boom, 3 days later, Bloomberg says, "Hey, we don't need no stinking cash. Burn that stuff." And, it was like, but hey, the war is over. But now we're in the mop-up phase. You still have an opportunity to protect yourself. And the way you do it, hey, acquire some currency, precious metals, and other goods that you'll need, because you could just see the handwriting on the wall here. James, I mean, Japan's got negative interest rates. We are in, as Salente called it, the panic of 2016. And I think that's accurate. Gold and silver have been remarkably stable and have gone up a few percent, 5-7%. Gold more so than silver, which, I'm not drawing any inferences that this is the end of the bear market in precious metals. But I think we're getting closer to the end, to a bottom. If we haven't made the bottom, it'll get tested and slightly, maybe it'll go down to 990. I don't know. But I just see that really that's what we've been telling people. Precious metals. Investment jewelry is a good thing. We're talking 24 carat, 22 carat, like Indian jewelry. Indians don't buy jewelry for adorning their bodies as much as it's a savings vehicle. Go back to pre-1965 silver coins, U.S. silver coins, mainly available only in the U.S., not really popular outside the U.S. Kyle Bass, he's got a whole warehouse full of nickels. At one point, the nickel was worth like 7.5 cents. Now it's down to like 3.5. You could see what these coins are worth in coinflation.com. Great site to go see what your old stuff is worth. And hey, just hope for the best. And hey, the other thing is, like you and I, improve your skill set. Find, develop skills that people are going to need no matter what happens to the economy. You know, you're always going to need an exterminator to get rid of the mice and the bugs. You're going to need someone to fix your car. You're going to need somebody to keep your plumbing working and your electric. But it's not just those skills. There's so many others. You can just learn them off the internet now and invest in yourself, right?
We are in an exciting age when it comes to those types of things, but it can be a treacherous and dangerous age for other reasons, like the cashless society agenda. So it is a trade-off that we all are making at the moment, and we have to find ways to hedge. And yeah, just to follow up what you're saying there about the precious metal bear market coming to an end, I think you're right. But again, I think checking the daily price of gold as sort of a measure of a quick turnaround investment is probably not the right way to be looking at this. We need to be thinking about it more in terms of a hedge. So
yeah, well, you and I, it's our job to watch it. I always tell my friends, don't bother looking at the price every day. Leave that to me. I'll let you know if something happens. Forget you have it. Just forget about it and leave it in the safe. Don't put it in the safe deposit box. Chase doesn't want your currency in their stinking safe deposit boxes or your bullion. I mean, you know, it's just, what's that about, huh? Something not good.
If you don't hold it, you don't have it. All right. I think we're going to leave it there for today. Once again, let's direct people over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com so they can check out your work. Kerry Lutz, thanks again for coming on the program today.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, James. Look forward to having you on back on FSN in the not too distant future. And it's definitely interesting times.
Take care.